Praise the Lord. Wonderful to have this interdenominational combined service on Sunday, the first Sunday in July 2026. I will thank the Lord for the King of the land, of Edoma land, Edoma kingdom, Edoma nation, and for all the highly placed people who are here today from the educational sector, from the government sector, and from the kingdom, the first chiefs and all the other chiefs and everyone, and beloved, highly respected pastors, ministers of different churches and different denominations. We're not taking your presence for granted. We're not taking your sacrifice for granted. We appreciate you, we love you, we respect you too. And we pray that in this combined service, global Sunday service, the Lord will bless everyone. Amen. And the Lord will use his servant, your servant, to bring blessing to everyone, every minister, every member, every family, and the whole community, our country, the continent, and all the continents globally, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you that you brought us together to listen not to a man, mortal man, the clay, but to listen to you through a man that you have selected among many equals. We're asking, O Lord, that today you perfect your work, freedom, liberty, deliverance, dominion, and every miracle that we desire that you have promised, bring upon every life. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I knew you will give a great amen. That's great. You can make it greater though. Amen. God bless you. You can sit down. We're coming to John chapter 8. I read from verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. That's a testimony. All these days we've been together, starting from June in FCT and coming to Benue with Boko, and then now the final and the highest here in Otupo. We've had many that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But he has a word. He had a word for them. And he has a word for you. Verse 31. It says in verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews, to those people which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. What does that mean? Raising up the hand, good, that's not enough. And standing for Christ, a night, a morning, anytime, great, but that's not enough. You come, that's the first step. And as you come, now you continue. He said, hey, you continue in my words, then are you my disciples, and my disciples indeed. Look at verse 32. In verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You are free already as you continue with the Lord. and you know the truth, and know the truth, and know the truth. The deeper you know the truth, the higher you know the truth, the greater you know the truth, the more and more and more your freedom and liberation will be in Jesus' name. Verse 36. In verse 36, if the Son, S-O-N, that's capital S, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. A disciple indeed, and we're also free indeed. That's the promise he has given. And he tells us in Acts 2, verse 39, Acts chapter 2, verse 39, for the promise is unto you. The promise is unto you. There are believers that limit this verse to this chapter. But when you read Genesis, you have the promise. Exodus, the promise, I will pass over you. And Leviticus, it says, I will sever you, separate you, and you'll be a peculiar people. That's promise. You read the Numbers, it's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should relent or repent. As he said, I see, will he not do it? And then you come to Deuteronomy, and it says that your shoes will be prize, iron, and he said the everlasting arms are upon you. You come to Joshua, and he says, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. As you go through your Bible, you'll find the promise. The promise, and it says, every promise you read about, it says, the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You have a promise this morning that will not pass you by. Yeah. We're talking today on wholesome freedom, total freedom, complete freedom, impartial freedom, abiding freedom, wholesome freedom, without further bondage. Now you are free. I am free. No further bondage in your life anymore, in Jesus' name. Three things we're looking at. Number one, the fresh call to forgiveness and healing. Number two is the faithful call to freedom in holiness. Number three, the final call to his fullness from heaven. Look at number one. Number one is the fresh call to forgiveness and healing. Fresh. He gives the call every time. Let me explain to you. Before you knew the Lord, before you came the first time, you had a load of sin, and you had guilt, condemnation, and your question in your mind is, who shall deliver me from this body of sin? If you have read the Pilgrim's Progress, you find the Christian there having such a burden at the back, and the burden drove him to despair, and the burden drove him to despondency, and he was crying, wanting to find out, where am I going to have this burden on my back, on my heart, removed? And then the evangelist appeared unto him and showed him the gate at which he will have the burden removed. That's where Christ was waiting for him. And as he got there, and that gate will not take him and his load at the back, but getting to Christ, the burden rolled off. He got the forgiveness at the beginning of the call of God upon your life. He called you to repentance fresh, and you received your forgiveness. But you know, after you have become a Christian, a believer, something might happen in the way. You're a child of God, but something happened that you are not happy with, and it could affect your relationship with God. And very quickly, you come back to God fresh, and he forgives you again. That's why he teaches us in the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, honored be your name." And then he said, "Your will be done here on earth as it is done in heaven." And he's asking for the daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And then he says, remember, he has already said, "Our Father which art in heaven." There is a child-father relationship. And yet he says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive others." I'm fresh. Anytime, every time you need forgiveness, the fresh call comes to forgiveness and also healing. We got healed, but you know, the body is not like the glorious body of Christ in heaven yet. Because when Christ rose from the dead, God gave him the glorified body. He didn't have to knock at the door to open the door. The disciples were inside with that glorious body. He just entered and said, "Peace be unto you." With that glorious body, he didn't need to enter into a vehicle, aeroplane, to go anywhere. And he told Mary in the morning near the grave from where he rose up, he said, "Don't touch me yet, because I've not gone to the Father." And he said, "I'm going to the Father, my Father and your Father." That glorious body just went and went to heaven. And that the first day of the week that he rose up, he still came back. And if you are a scientifically minded person, you know that heaven, even the sky and the planets, it will take years, for the light years, for somebody to even get there if you could. And the third heaven is higher, farther than that. He went and he came back. That's the kind of body. That body does not get sick, but the body we have now, because we're still here, human body, although we're saved, although we're born again, we're healed. And then another sickness might knock at the door. Another sickness might bewail us and derail us. Because of that, we need fresh healing. And every time you need the healing, it will grant unto you in Jesus' name. Fresh forgiveness and fresh healing. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 55. I read from verse 6. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while is near." Look at verse 7. It says, "Let the wicked forsake his way." You know, that's the fresh call he gives. And if you were a believer before, but you went astray, you've gone back to your vomit, you know, it's such a dirty thing for somebody to vomit, and then like a dog, get the vomit back, swallow the vomit back. But that's what the backslider does. If you have been with the Lord, and now you've vomited all those things, and then you've come back to your vomit like the dog, the Lord is giving you a fresh call. A fresh call to restoration. A fresh call to forgiveness. And he says, let the wicked, the sinner, the backslider, let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thought, and let him return. 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 Come back home. Come back to the Lord. Come back to your roots. Christ is the origin of your life. If you've gone astray, come back to that origin. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You know, the word pardon is another word for to forgive. He will abundantly forgive in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all the amen we have in the crowd. Three things. Number one is the promise of forgiveness and healing. Number two is the power for to forgive and to heal. Number three is the partakers of his forgiveness and healing. Look at number one. Number one is the promise of forgiveness and healing. And please remember, what he promises, he performs. And he promised that to everyone. Everyone, you can come and he will forgive you. Even if you got forgiveness before, but you were careless, and now you are gone astray, you can come. There's fresh promise of forgiveness for you. It tells us in Jeremiah chapter 30, together with that forgiveness also comes healing. It will forgive you and heal you. For I will restore health unto thee in particular, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, says the Lord, because they called thee an outcast. When you went astray, angels said, that's an outcast. When you went astray, all the saints of heaven, they said, that's an outcast. And now what could he do to shake off the label, the title, whoever you are? That because you strayed from God, you became an outcast. Thank you very much. Don't you then say sorry? Why don't you say sorry to your dad? God bless every one of you. And then, like Adam and Eve, when Adam and Eve went astray, they became outcasts, and all their offsprings that go back to sin, they are outcasts. But they called you outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. But now he says, come, he will forgive you. He says, come, he will heal you in Jesus' name. Look at James chapter 5. And we're reading from verse 15. James 5, verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save, heal, cure the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. The Lord will raise you up. And if he had committed sins, plural, He has committed sins. When you look at the plurality of the sin you have committed, and you say, can God forgive this? 1, 2, 3. You even stop counting their appear uncountable. Even the one you remember, there's so many. And the ones you don't remember are even more. But he said, you have committed sins in the plural, and they shall be forgiven him. He will forgive you. Yes. I said the word of God says he will forgive you. Yes. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, confess your faults, your sins, your wrongdoing, your bad deeds one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. You're healed in Jesus' name. No sickness so bad that he cannot heal. No sin so vile that he cannot forgive. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. A good amen from your side. Number two is the power to forgive and to heal. It tells us in Acts chapter 10, reading from verse 38, he has the power, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Not the power. He manifests. He has power to forgive. He has power to restore. He has power to transform our lives. He has power to set us free, because God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, and he has come to you today. Yes. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Colossians chapter 1, looking at verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, fit, suitable to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light. Verse 13. In verse 13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. The power of darkness will not hold you down anymore. Will not push you back anymore. And will not stand in your way to hinder you anymore. And he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Amen. Verse 14. In verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Look at that again, plural. He forgives all the sins altogether by one act of atonement, that he died for you, died for me, died for us on the cross of Calvary. By that one act of atonement, all the sins are forgiven. Look at number three. Number three is the partakers of his forgiveness and healing. Partakers. You are not an onlooker. You are a partaker. You are not a stranger. You are a partaker. Everyone can come, and the Lord will not push you away. It tells us in Psalm 103, we're reading from verse 1. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Personal, my soul. Bless the Lord and all that is within me. Personal. Bless his holy name. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, in the plural, the benefits he grants us. He is the one that called us to come and receive the benefits. And when we come, he will not deny us. He will not say he didn't know us. Of course he knows us. That's why he called us, a fresh call to the forgiveness and the healing. And he said, forget not all his benefits. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. How many iniquities will he forgive? Oh, God bless you. And who healeth all thy diseases. How many diseases will he heal? Tell me, tell me. Tell the neighbor by your side, he'll heal you of every disease in Jesus' name. We're coming to point number 2. Point number 2, his faithful call to freedom in holiness. Is a faithful God, and he calls us in his faithfulness to freedom, and that freedom we find in holiness. It tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm looking at verse 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He has called us unto holiness. Somebody help me shout over there, holiness.
Holiness.
Now, what is holiness? You know, just say holiness, holiness, holiness. And somebody, especially if she's a woman who does not have salvation, forgiveness, being born again, puts scarf on the head while she prays. That's good, don't misunderstand, but that is not the epitome and the peak and the height of holiness. Other people, maybe they remove the earring and they say, look at me, and they think, not wearing earring, that is the finality of holiness. Other people say, I don't wear this, I don't wear that. And they say, that is holiness. And when real holiness is presented to them, they miss out or they lose out because they think they have it already. What's holiness? H there, humility, harmlessness. What's holiness? Oh, there is obedience. When you're obedient to God, not just obedience in putting scarf on the head, not just obedience, I don't wear cap when I'm in the house of God. All that is good, but that is not it. Obedience to the word of God. L, loyalty. You're loyal to God. You are not disloyal. Anywhere you are loyal to the word of the Lord. I, you are instructable. You can be instructed. You are not a person that says, no, I've gone beyond Bible knowledge. I've gone beyond preaching. You are instructable. And you're new. You are not the old fed up you used to be. You are enduring. Whatever happens, you endure. You don't allow anything to take you out of the narrow path. As you are selfless. Self has been cancelled away from your life. As the final as, you are separated from the world. And my brother, my sister, it's a choice. A choice that you make. Yes, he calls us to holiness, But I have to make the choice, just like he calls me to repentance, I have to make the choice. He calls me to salvation, I have to make the choice. He calls me to holiness, and I have to make the choice. Each, I choose to be harmless, not harmful. If you say you are a Christian, and because you accept the doctrine of holiness, but your actions are harmful, your actions are haughty, you're not holy, you might accept the doctrine, but you're not living out the doctrine. I choose to be holy. I choose to be humble. You don't choose to be haughty. You make your choice. Haughtiness will not be part of your life. I choose to be obedient, not obstinate. If a person says, well, I believe the doctrine of holiness, and is obstinate, and we say, brother, this is wrong, this is not right, this will bring division in the house of God, this will bring distraction, you distract our mind away from the centrality of Christ, and you're obstinate, you're not holy. You might profess holiness, you might sing holiness, you might believe in the doctrine of holiness, but I choose to be obedient. I don't choose to be obstinate. I choose to be lowly, not lofty. But the person who is going about lofty, proud, above everybody else, nobody can talk to him, nobody can talk to her, nobody can point the way, and yet he believes. You greeted me this time. God bless you. Amen. You know, if you actually have the holiness experience, you choose to be lowly, not lofty. And you choose to be instructable, not incorrigible. The people that say, I believe in holiness, I'm holy, I'm sanctified, but they are incorrigible, incorrigible. And once they say, this is what I'm going to do, they may hear Bible teaching in the morning and hear crusade message in the evening. They remain the old incorrigible man, incorrigible woman, incorrigible churchgoer they have ever been. That's not holiness. You are easily instructed. And when you are instructed, and we say, look at the word of God, look at the verse in the Bible, look at the chapter in the Bible, I choose to be instructed. You don't choose to be incorrigible. And then it says, I choose to be new. A new life. A new life. You don't choose to be naughty. And, you know, just accept me the way I am. I know I'm naughty. Well, that's your choice. You choose to be naughty, but that's not holiness. You must have a new life. And the new life must reflect that you have Christ living on the inside of you. And it is there, I choose to endure. I choose to endure. You endure whatever. Now, to endure doesn't mean you will not correct the fellow that is going on his way to hell, that is doing evil. You know, the evil they do might not frustrate you, might not affect you, might not make you backslide, but for their own sake, you need to tell them, and you choose to endure. As you choose to be selfless, not selfish. The people who carry the holiness banner, holy, 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 holier than everybody else, but the selfish, They're self-centered. They only consider themselves, and that is their choice. But you know, you choose to be a person who is completely selfless, and then you choose to be separated from the world. If you are sensual, like the people of the world, sensual, like the rest of the society, I believe in holiness, I believe in holiness. No, you don't believe in holiness. The holiness is not residing in you. If you believe in holiness, and you know he has called you in his faithfulness to freedom in holiness, you come to him and he does that in you. It's your choice. It's your choice. And this day, you can make up your mind. Choose to be holy. And the Lord purge you, purify you, make you holy in Jesus' name. Look at three things here. Number one, the promise of freedom and holiness. Promise. He promises us. Why? Because he knows we can't do it by ourselves. We can't be holy enough for heaven by ourselves. And he has to do it. That's why he gives us the promise of freedom and holiness. Look at number two. Number two is the power for freedom with holiness. Is power from God. A power, the power in the blood of the Lamb, the power in the atonement that Christ has made, the power of the authority of his name. And that power is for our total freedom and for our complete holiness. Holiness of heart, holiness in our mind, holiness in the private, holiness in the public, holiness in your speech, holiness in your action. And he has the power to make us as holy as we ought to be. Look at number three. Number three, the partakers of freedom through holiness. We're coming to number one. Number one is the promise of freedom and holiness. It tells us in Luke chapter 1, reading from verse 72. Luke chapter 1, verse 72. To perform the mercy promise. You see that word? That is what he promised. It says he promised to our fathers, and remember his holy covenant. 73. In 73, it says the oath which he swear to our father Abraham. 74. That he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, that's freedom. That enemy will not direct your life anymore. Give me a good amen. Amen. That the enemies will not disrupt your life anymore. Another amen. The enemy will not distract your life. You know, you plant because you choose the way of the Lord. This is where you are going, and that's ordained by God. That is planned by God, and it is God that leads, that says, this is the way to go in the narrow path. Anyone that wants to distract you from that narrow path is not a friend, an enemy. Anyone that wants to destroy your conviction to walk in the narrow path and to live the way God wants you to live and to have holiness in your heart, holiness in your mind, holiness in your decision, holiness, a walk in the straight path that leads to heaven. Anyone that wants to obstruct that, that's not a friend, that's an enemy. And it says that he will deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, that we might serve him without fear. Give God a good amen there.
Amen.
Serve him without fear. I was glad when he said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Glad, happy, joyful, excited. Anyone that, you know, will make you sad, sorrowful, and then almost you go back not wanting to serve the Lord because they put fear in your heart. If you stand for righteousness and they do things that they want to put you in fear, God deliver you from the fear of man.
Amen.
Good, amen.
Amen.
He says, so that we'll serve God without fear. If you're serving God with fear, the fear of man, you are not holy. What they allow you to do is only what you do. If they say, that's too much, don't go that direction, and you're afraid of them, you're not afraid of the final judgment after death. You're not afraid of the judgment of the Almighty God that he threatened on Sodom and Gomorrah even when he was still alive. You're not afraid of the judgment of God he threatened on Nineveh then when they were still alive. If you're afraid of man rather than being afraid of God, you do not have holiness. The covenant he has made with us, and the good thing he has promised us, is that he'll deliver us from the hand of all our enemies, and that we might serve him without fear. Look at this, verse 75. In holiness, if you're not serving God in holiness, you're not serving God. If you're haughty, you're not serving God, no matter what you do in the house of God. If you are obstinate, you are not serving God. If you are lofty, you are proud, pompous, you are not serving God. If you are incorrigible, you are not serving God. If you are naughty, you are not serving God. And if you are evil, you are not serving God. If you are selfish, self-centered, you are not serving God. If you are sensual, you are not serving God. When you serve God, you choose to be holy. You choose to be humble. You choose to be obedient. You choose to be loyal. You choose to be instructed. You are instructable. You choose to be new. If any man be in Christ, it's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And you choose to endure. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. You choose not to think of yourself. You choose to be selfless. You choose to be separated from all the indulgent things of the world. And this is how we serve God in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. Any amen there? Look at number two. Number two is the power for freedom with holiness. Power for freedom with holiness. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, I'm reading here from verse 12. It says, and the Lord make you to increase and to abound in love, one towards another. There's no amen today. And towards all men, even as we do towards you. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, it says, to the end, for the goal, for the purpose he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Establish the heart in holiness, unblameable before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. We're coming to number three. Number three, we're looking at the partakers of freedom through holiness. The partakers of freedom through holiness. All these people in the Bible, they were people that allowed the grace of God, the goodness of God, the godly nature of God to come into them. And if they could do it, you can do it in Jesus' name. Yeah. I said you will do it in Jesus' name. Yeah. Holiness, you think of Ezekiah. You know, Ezekiah, Isaiah says, set your house in order because you will die and not live. That man, there was no guilt in him. No condemnation in him. He had lived in his private life. He had lived in his public life. He had lived a consistent life of righteousness before God. He turned to the wall and he said, God, remember now how perfectly I've walked before you. And God sent and said, go and tell him he is healed. And I add 15 years to his lifespan. You know, those are people, they took up the grace of God and godliness came in them, active and alive. Obadiah was a person that even though he was serving in the palace of Ahab, when Elijah said, go tell your master, I'm here. Obadiah said, have you not heard? I'm not like them. I'm just walking there. It's like you're a civil servant. There's corruption all around you. But you are standing and standing for what you believe. This is the right thing. Obadiah was a person that lived in holiness. Have you heard about Luke? Luke is the one that wrote the gospel according to Saint Luke. Not Saint Luke, but Saint Luke. And it's the one that wrote Acts of the Apostles. And that Luke also, he is the one that even reminded the nation that God had given a covenant that he will deliver us from all our enemies and that he will make us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all the days of our lives. That man Luke, he shows us, he demonstrates to us, he shows us the picture of holiness before God. Isaiah, behold I and the children whom God has given me were for signs and wonders in Israel. He said, I foresaw the Lord, and as he saw the angels crying, holy, holy, holy is God Almighty. And when he saw the beauty of the holiness of heaven, he saw how dirty he was. He said, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And the angel came with the tongue of with fire from the altar and touched his lips and said, this has touched you. Your sin is purged. Your sin is taken away. Isaiah had the experience. I'm sure you've heard of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is the one that came to rebuild the wall of righteousness, of protection around the people of God. His actions there, and his self-denial, his sacrifice, what he had to leave behind so that he could serve the Lord without any encumbrance and without any hindrance. You've heard about Ezekiel. I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean, and from all your filthiness will I cleanse you. And then he says that I will take the stony heart, the stubborn heart, the self-will, I'll take that out of your heart, and you will serve the Lord, and I'll pour my spirit upon you. Ezekiel, you've heard of Samuel. Samuel that said, come, you can, I've been with you from my childhood till this time, and witness against me. And he said, no, you have not done anything. God made them holy. He can make you holy in Jesus' name. And you have heard of Stephen when he was before the Sanhedrin, and he looked up and said, I see Jesus, the Son of God, is standing there to welcome me and to receive me. And while they were stoning him, he said, count not this against them, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. These were partakers of the holy nature of God. These were partakers, and the same way the Lord set them free, he will set you free. I said, he will set you free. And of course, you have not forgotten Enoch. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm reading from verse 5. Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had translated him. That's rapture. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Welcome to point number three now. Point number three, the final call to his fullness from heaven. Final call to his fullness. You see, the people of old, like the apostles, the people of old, like the disciples of Christ, they were not satisfied with shallow experience. They were not satisfied with, I got it last year, I got it 10 years ago, and now they're superficial. They were not satisfied with that. And so now we have the final call to the fullness of God that he reveals to us from heaven. Ephesians chapter 3, we're looking at verse 8. Ephesians 3, verse 8. Unto me, here is Paul talking, who I am the least of the least, less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I shall preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. To preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. That also means if you are preaching it, you must practice it. If you are practicing it, you must proclaim it. If you are proclaiming it, you must be praying for other people to have that same unsearchable riches, unsearchable redemption, unsearchable righteousness of Christ. But you know, if you are around people who say, well, what we want is just the superficial. When you go deep and you are preaching the uncommon, the extraordinary, the unsearchable, it will be like, why are you wasting your time with us? Why are you preaching the unsearchable, the uncommon, and the inexhaustible, the fullness But that's what God wants you to have. He doesn't want to stay. Want you to stay at the shore. He says, launch into the deep. And now he gives you, he has given you a fresh call. He has given you a faithful call. Now he gives the final call to his fullness from heaven. We're looking at verse 14, chapter 3, verse 14. It says, For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What do you bow the knee? What do you pray? What are you asking for? Look at verse 18. In verse 18, may be able to comprehend, to understand, and to possess with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Verse 19. In verse 19, and you know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what he wants. That's what Christ died for. That everything Adam lost in the Garden of Eden, Christ came up, and in the garden he now has suffered for us. And he died on the cross so that we'll have the fullness of the provision of God. Full salvation, entire sanctification, mighty baptism in the Holy Ghost, and walking in the strength, in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants for you, for me, and for all. Look at three things here. Number one is promise of the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Number two is power through the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Number three, partakers of the fullness of the Holy Ghost. The Lord make you a partaker. Amen. You know, if we're going to have something full, we do not have, we shouldn't have feeble. Amen. Number one is the promise of the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2, reading from verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission, the cleansing, the blotting out, the remission of sins, all sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You will receive. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to your converts, and to your mentees, to your children, and to all that are far off, even as far as Utopo here, far from Jerusalem, where Peter declared this, and he says, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Is for you. The fullness of the Holy Ghost is for you in Jesus' name. Look at number two. Number two is the power through the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Power. You will not be powerless. Power in its fullness will come into your heart, into your life in Jesus' name. Acts 1, we're reading from verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power. What are you going to receive this morning? Weakness, fearfulness, timidity, trembling, shaking, discouragement, failure. The fire of the Holy Ghost will burn all that chaff out of your life in Jesus' name. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Give me a good amen. What they did by the power of the Holy Ghost in Jerusalem, we will do in this uttermost part of the earth. What they did in Judea by the power of the Holy Ghost, we will do in this uttermost part of the earth. And what Philip did in Samaria by the power of the Holy Ghost in this uttermost part of the earth, we will do. You will do in Jesus' name. This is the promise of the Lord, that what we receive when we come to the presence of the Lord, it doesn't give us weakness, it doesn't give us timidity, it doesn't give us fear. You know, some people come to the house of God, and while they are in the house of God, instead of having courage, conviction, power, they have fear. They're looking at the wrong thing. They're looking at the wrong person. They're hearing a strange voice. When you hear the voice of the Lord, and when you hear the promise of the Lord, and when you're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, you don't have weakness, you don't have timidity, you don't have fretting, you don't have worry, you don't have anxiety. When you come into the house of God, here is what you have. You shall receive power. Amen. I will receive power. You must ask yourself some real, serious, down-to-earth questions. If you got weakness and you retain that weakness, where did you receive that? If there is fear, timidity in your life, and you do not have the backbone to stand and to have the power to witness to the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost, if there is fear, fretfulness, timidity, you must ask yourself the question, where did I get that from? When you look at Christ and you get from Christ the provision of what he had promised, there will be power in your life. Amen. For ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in all Samaria, and then unto the uttermost part of the earth. It will happen to you even today in Jesus' name. Amen. Number three now. Number three, we're looking at partakers of the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Partakers of the fullness of the Holy Ghost. We've spoken about Elisha in one of these messages, and you can tell that Elisha, from the life and his courage, the way he carried himself after he had the double portion, you can tell that man had something. Even the 50 sons of the prophets, they said, the spirit of Elijah is now on Elisha. Micah, he tells us, I am full of the power of the Holy Spirit, and he has anointed me, chosen me, directed me to point out the transgression of the people of Jacob, the transgression of the nation. And you can tell, look at Peter. Just a few weeks before, a little maid challenged him, you are one of them. He said, no, I don't know Jesus. Another one, just a few minutes after, you are, even your speech betrays you. And he began to curse. I don't know him. But thank God, he was restored. God will restore you. Amen. Good, amen. Amen. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly, there was a mighty sound from heaven, and wind blew in that upper chamber, and cloven tongues like a fire fell on each of them, Peter included. And they began to speak in other tongues, another language, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the people gathered together. What is this? What is this? Some people said, they are drunk, don't mind them. And Peter now stood and he said, men and brethren, Peter, are you the one talking? I saw you some weeks ago, even before one little girl, you couldn't stand and you couldn't confess Christ. Are you the one talking? And he began to even tell them, you crucified and you slew and you killed the Prince of Life. And he came under conviction and he said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter replied and said, repent, turn, the courage, the conviction, the power to be able to stand like that, to be a witness in Jerusalem, that the power of the Holy Ghost, that power will come upon your life. Amen. Stephen was chosen as one of the seven to serve tables. And when Stephen, when he confronted him, all those people, they were surprised. In fact, they saw his face shining at that of an angel. That in that same Jerusalem. And he declared the word of God without fear and without feebleness and without shaking or trembling. Philip in Samaria declared the word of God and preached Christ unto them. Those who were partakers, and later came Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul. And with all boldness, with all assurance in the Gentile world, he declared and he witnessed to Jesus Christ, partakers of the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Who will be the next? I said, who will be the next? You will be the next. The Holy Ghost will come upon you, will fill you, will saturate you, will transform your personality. And in this uttermost part of the earth, you will declare the word of God with boldness in Jesus' name. If you're thirsty, you can come, and the Lord will satisfy your thirst for the infilling, indwelling of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. The promise is unto you. I said the promise is unto you.
Yes.
And to your children.
Yes.
And to the members of your local church.
Yes.
Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Let's rise up now and pray. Stand up. Seek the face of the Lord. We have a fresh call to his forgiveness and healing. We have also his faithful call to freedom and holiness. And we have the final call to this fullness of the Holy Ghost from heaven. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer. Pray, Lord, this is my time. Do it for me. Give it to me. Do it in Jesus' name.